Right, welcome to the podcast. This week we've got Coach Jack Howard on as a guest, and then joined as usual by Dave. This week, what I wanted to do is bring Jack on to really dive into what is conjugate strength training. It's become more and more of a theme at the gym and the training that we put out. You know, it really started back in 2014 or 15. We brought Joe Lasko in to coach our power hour. He had been an intern at Westside Barbell, and you know, he brought a real heavy conjugate influence into that power hour class. And over time, myself, Dan, Arlie, we got certifications in the conjugate method. And it's been something that I've trained in that power hour class quite a bit over the last, 7 or 8 years. And, you know, Jack's got a really good mind for it, really similar to Joe. It's cool that we got him not too long after Joe left here. And, I want to get Jack's and like anything, I think the conjugate method leaves a lot of room to interpretation, and a lot of like, everyone does it a little different. Like all the Westside disciples that I see, like everyone's got their own little spin on it, whether it's Shane or like Matt Winning, like mm-hmm. everyone does their conjugate stuff with, you know, similar principles, but they have their own little flavor, like the way they cook. It's just like, you know, pizza. Everyone has their own, like their flavor to it. But quite literally, conjugate means it's to join together, correct?
Yes, it is.
So it's to join together. And, you know, looking at it, there's a lot of parallels with CrossFit. And I think that's why it actually works really well with CrossFit, you know, because you're only as strong as your weakest link. And that's seems to be a theme in with conjugate training, you know, at least the way I look at it, they'll focus a lot on like a muscle group that's weak. So it's like, okay, we are trying to get the whole body moving well by bringing up those lagging muscles with accessories and things like that. Whereas CrossFit, it gets even more broad, where we're going to try and bring up your, you know, fitness more so with like full modalities. Like we're going to look real broad at like barbell strength or your monostructural conditioning or gymnastics, where conjugate strength training gets a little more granular into, you know, very specific muscle groups and things like that. Would you agree with like that take on it?
Yes, 100%. Okay. CrossFit is conjugate, and then conjugate is CrossFit.
That's kind of how I like when I look at it, and that's why I think it works real well. It just gets more into the kind of the fine tuned details of all of it. And you know, there's some basic principles in, and I was kind of like just looking back at my notes, and you know, in a typical conjugate workout, it's going to be roughly 20% of the training session is going to be like a main movement and 80% accessories.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay. Yep. And then in a typical conjugate week, you're going to have 2 max effort days, 2 dynamic effort days.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that means, what that looks like?
Yeah. So for those max effort days, usually you have 1 or 2 movements. You have a secondary, you have a main. So you'll have that first initial lift, then you'll have something to target the other side of that lift. So if you did hamstrings on the first one, you're going to do quads in the second one, and then you're going to move through all those movements, where whether it be the glutes, whether it be that bottom part of the hamstring, something like that, you're going to start fine-tuning, and you're going to start putting joint movements in there, not necessarily movements for muscles, but joint health as well.
Gotcha.
As the joint has to be healthy to be able to take on that stress.
That's my problem with lifting heavy anymore. It's like,
yeah,
I have to kind of move around different joints, and I'm like, okay, I can lift real heavy right now, upper body. And then, you know, 6 months from now, like my shoulder might be a little buggy, and then like I can really push my squats and deadlifts. And but joint health is normally like my big governor. So yeah. I probably really need to dive more into like the accessory work and getting those joints really healthy from like the front and the back.
Exactly. Yeah.
I tend to overstress my quads and I get a lot of quad tendonitis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's pretty typical in CrossFit too, with high bar back squats and front squats and, you know, just that upright squatting that we're doing a lot. It just really loads that quad tendon. And then my glutes and hamstrings, whether or not they're weak, they're just not eating a lot of the load of that squat.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the best guys in the world, like Rich Froning, Josh Bridges, Dan Bailey, probably not Dan as much, but like Ben Smith, they've all had their knees scoped. Mm-hmm. So they've had at least some sort of going under the knife to kind of clean out that damage that's happened.
Dan's had some knee surgeries.
Yeah. Like it happens. Like doing a lot of that stuff, you have to be able to know when you're hurting yourself and then when you're doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that fine line between burgers and shakes.
I think too often in CrossFit, you know, moving well is very important, but just hammering volume on the same movement over and over again, it doesn't matter how well you move. Great example is whether it's Froning or like Chris Spieler. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen anyone who has like a more picture perfect squat, you know, especially in his heyday than Chris Spieler. And like, I know a lot of times he has a really cool program where basically what he's gotten into is I think what he's selling a lot now is how to modify CrossFit workouts around things. But a lot of it was because of just years of overuse, because he's, you know, I don't know, the guy's probably squatting, you know, over 500 reps of whether it was air squats or overhead squats in a week. And you know, put that times 20 years and then your knees are going to get kind of pissed off.
Yeah. So that's a lot of mileage.
Yeah. So, and he's big on conjugate. He's always really like thought highly of that too. And I think that started to give him more miles and like on his body now, where he's found a good rhythm of training and he mixes it up and does like, you know, he'll do like a max effort lower day on Monday. I've seen years where he does that like every Monday and kind of mixes things up that way.
What's nice about the conjugate method too is there's enough variation in your lifts that you're not, it's kind of specifically made to avoid that burnout, right? Yeah. So you're just not like, I'm not back squatting heavy, you know, three or four times a week and just like massive volumes like that. There's always going to be a different lift, you know, for your max effort dynamic days. So you can get stronger, but you're not going to burn out or, you know, hopefully, you know, not injure those joints as much.
Yeah. It keeps our puppy mind to keep engaging with that. Like every week we're like, okay, like what's the next thing? Oh, this is cool. I've never done this before. This is a new PR for me.
Yeah.
So it's constantly varied. They're usually always functional movements because they're obviously we're building up our muscles and stuff like that. That's ideally what the conjugate method is for. It's to build all that muscle tissue so that we can then obviously support those heavier loads that either we're trying to lift or that positional endurance, obviously we're trying to build for our CrossFit.
Yeah. I remember doing a cycle. I did a really, it worked really well. It was not too long before I met you. I caught a really good wave. I was really healthy and hit a good training cycle, but I hadn't even done a straight bar front squat, in a long time. I didn't do it this entire training cycle it was probably 3 or 4 months. And then at the end we did our rogue total here in the CrossFit class.
Yeah.
And, I PR'd it by, I don't know, quite a bit, you know, at 39 years old, I think I PR'd it by a solid 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And was before I started the cycle, I probably bumped it a solid 40, you know, just throughout that. And I hadn't hit one front squat, you know,
throughout it.
It was just like, oh, wow, that just popped right up. And, and I was just hitting a variety of squats, lots of things like out of the hole off pins, you know, like the Anderson versions. It was just a lot of different variety of squats. And I remember what was cool about it is we deadlifted on our dynamic days, but we only hit a handful of pulls, really heavy pulls. We're really developing our squat a lot.
Yeah.
But that developed my deadlift, and I PR'd my deadlift as well during that cycle. You know, I just had more drive with my legs,
yeah,
you know, with that deadlift. So it was just really neat to actually see it completely all work the way I had read about it. And I'd put the time in, I hadn't been dabbling too much between things. And it was really neat to see that all work out and play out.
Yeah. It's never the big lifts and the main stuff that builds any of the strength. It's always the accessory.
Yeah.
And so all that accessory work that you're probably doing, which is building all that volume and building all that tension in your hamstrings to be able to pull it even harder.
That's the big thing that I won't typically do on my own. What's really cool about like the Power Hour class, I'll sit there for, a good example was last Saturday. We had a ton of like shoulder accessories. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 15 minutes of like 2.5 pound weight, different variety of like rear delt flies and Sorensen or Serrano like holds and things like that. There's no way on my own I'm going to do that for 15 straight minutes just cooking.
Yeah. It's always core work and it's always the scap work, like that finisher and recovery work that no one will ever do if they are given the opportunity to skip it.
Yeah. And then that whole group, we're all just like, all right, what set are you on?
Yeah. Like how many sweats do you have left? I just want to go now. I want to get it done. The faster you get it done, the easier it is. And the less you have to do.
But it's great. My shoulders feel incredible from doing that. And I wasn't sore the next day. It was just like, I got so much blood in there and I just working those tissues really deep. It was awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about how the pendulum waves work and say like a Power Hour setup that we have? So you're going to evolve the percentages. That's going to be on the dynamic days because, you know, conjugate it's not a linear cycle, but there is some linear progression to the percentages in these short little waves. And a lot of it, you know, it gives you feedback throughout the weeks that help you, you know, understand where to go with your lifts. But can you tell us a little bit about how that would work?
Yeah. So as far as like the dynamic work, without any kind of accommodating resistance, which is that bands or chains, it's always going to follow 65, 70, 75. So those first 2 weeks will be that 9x3. And then that last week is usually that 7x3 because we have that heavier percentage. We want to get a little bit of that load off there.
Yep.
So we don't want to crush ourselves. And then if we're doing bands or chains, it's usually going to be 25 to 30% of that band or chain weight of your, say, your one rep max. Then you're going to put about 40, 45, 50% on there. So it goes all in that same kind of that 3 week wave. And then that fourth week, there's a fourth week, hidden kind of fourth week in there. Which is going to be more or less something you've never done before. And then we're going to try to do some kind of maybe either heavy block work percentage, which is something that would be, or say like a overhead press. Yeah. So if we were in CrossFit, we do an overhead press for that fourth week. So either a push press with bands, strict press with bands, Z press, something like that.
Well, power lifters sometimes not do an overhead press at all because their arms won't go into that position.
No, I mean, you get the weight heavy enough, their arms will go in that position. Okay, with weight comes mobility.
Gotcha. I've just seen some of the guys, I'm like, I don't know if their arms will do that. Oh, because they're just so freaking stacked, like, in that position.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They are big guys.
Yeah. Just like with those powerlifting crews. So for our listeners, especially the ones at the gym who are listening to this right now, we're describing a lot of what a Power Hour setup looks like. So we're going to do a pretty traditional like conjugate setup with two max effort days and two dynamic effort days in that week. And then currently we just started in our CrossFit class. It's a little bit different. So the way our CrossFit class is working is we're doing two dynamic effort days with a max effort day in the middle. So a dynamic effort on Monday and Friday, and then our max effort in the middle. And part of this is too, we have a 7-day training cycle in CrossFit and people come on different days. Having four full conjugate days with all of the hard explosive training. It's a lot of volume. It's a lot for, I would say, the majority of our crowd. And we, you know, we have a large membership with 500 members on our CrossFit side. So basically we pulled one of those max effort days out, have two dynamic effort days in, and then we alternate it slightly. So like our first wave, so our first week, we do a squat on a dynamic effort day, a pull on our max effort day, and then a bench on our dynamic effort day. The next week, we basically just push everything forward one, and then it goes pull, so deadlift on dynamic effort, an upper body push, which we're going to do a max effort bench next week. And then we're doing our dynamic effort squat. The following week, again, we just push it forward one more. Then we do the bench, squat, deadlift. And then what I like about this too is it for CrossFitters, you don't get into that routine of, well, every Monday we're hitting a new, you know, we're squatting a different percentage. Where I've ran into that when we've done like, you know, throwing a Wendler cycle in front of wads. It gets redundant really fast and it gets boring, especially after about a month or so.
Yeah.
And it really does for long-term members. If, you know, I know gyms that they've done Wendler cycles every year or sometimes twice a year. If you've been at the gym for 5 years, once you hit that 10th Wendler cycle, you're like, all right, I'm kind of good on this style of training. And I've been there, you know, and I've programmed that way. Whereas this, especially the way it evolves, like week to week, it feels a little different. You're getting variety, but the percentages are evolving the same way they would in that traditional conjugate way, rather than using just accessories that we would traditionally use in like our power hour class. We use our Metcons and our wads more or less as that accessory work. And then we're going to add one to two accessories on the back end when you're done with that Metcon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So fitness, that's kind of how the class works.
Yeah. Fitness plus volume equals PRs.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And so that's kind of how we're looking at it. And so far, I mean, I did the first 3 days this week and like my body's definitely feeling like it in a good way. I'm just sore in like different ways. I had like four or five people like, man, I haven't box squatted before. I am lit up from that. And the thruster combination we did, people are really stoked for this. They're excited. And I love the way it's kind of flowing here. And I think after, you know, 6 weeks, people are going to start to feel their strength really starting to pop up and like lifts are going to feel more solid. They get under barbells when we're doing thrusters and cleans and things like that in class. They're going to be like, oh, this is feeling lighter. And the PRs are going to come within that cycle before we even get to that test out.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Say it's going to come around 7, 8, and 9 is when those really start showing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, an important note too is to really work. We have that accessory at the end of class and I know a lot of people like to hustle out of there. And if there's any possible way, try to force yourself to sit there, grind through. Like yesterday, it was the 100 unbroken banded good mornings. You know, it wasn't like you were out of breath. It was a tough, fast workout. And like, just throw the band on there and just start moving. And, you know, 40 in, you're like, okay, this is going to take a while.
Yeah.
But before you knew it, it was over. And you felt really good for having done that. And I feel like I'm less sore, actually, probably today than had I not done it. I don't know. I feel good. Do the accessories.
Oh, yeah. Always do your accessories. Never skip it. Yeah. If anything, skip the main movement. Go to your accessory.
That is actually a really good, like me just like, I've been working around a couple little injuries and I'm just getting back into class. There's some days where I think just getting into like acclimating to the full volume of a full training week, like I can probably do, I'm going to do 4 days this week and not five days of CrossFit. But what I'm going to do is make sure I hit my accessories the days that I'm not there. So at least just like, hey, if I just need to like sit it out and row because I'm banged up, I'm going to get all my band work, all my accessories in and maintain doing that, because that's where, especially when we're not used to working through those accessories, that's where we're going to see a lot of the benefit from this training cycle. We're used to doing burpees and running and throwing wall balls and doing things like that, but we're not used to doing 100 banded good mornings or, you know, tricep kickdowns and band pull aparts, you know, and things like that for 15 minutes after class.
Yeah.
Make sure we're getting that in.
Yeah, I was saying sometimes it's not always better to do another MetCon. You got to do more accessory work. Yeah. They don't, even if it doesn't feel like it's a hard workout, you're going to feel it probably the next 2 or 3 days if you were to do like another workout and you miss that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for our Power Hour and our CrossFit folks, Jack, tell me a little bit about the importance of being true to the, even if you don't know your percentages, being a little bit more like what I see very often is people overloading the dynamic effort days, particularly on like the bench days too. So we're going to do a 9x3 at 65 or 70%. I watch people oftentimes go to like 80%, you know, I mean, they're by the end of the thing, you know, they're not moving the weight fast. They're almost about to fail. Yeah. Do you see that happen, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that, what it is that people won't either know what the speed for that is, or it becomes more of that ego part.
Yep.
It's like, hey, I should be hitting this percentage. But sometimes what I'll do is I'll ask people, it's like, hey, what's going on today? Hey, how'd you do? What did you do earlier today? So usually if they have some kind of stress, outside stressors affect everything that goes on within the gym.
Yep.
And our life. So that can really take a toll on yourself. So if you're not feeling great or you put that 70% on there, you're like, this is not moving fast. Take it down. Take it down. Hit something fast. Don't try to overload yourself or try to go heavier just because you think you can do it or you think you really need to hit something heavy to think you're working hard. The faster is better.
Yeah, those dynamic, that's just a common error that I see is really straining against weight on dynamic effort days when, you know, that squat needs to be moving fast. That deadlift needs to be look like a hydraulic press, like boom, coming up. The bench is bam, 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 not one arm fighting and then the other one going.
We should not be struggling at all, especially on dynamic work.
I think there's a feeling of, which many people say is, it doesn't feel hard.
Yeah.
That's fine. Just move it as fast as you can.
Yeah, move it faster.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So like, yeah, it's not a max effort. It's like, all right, it's a moderate load, but I want you to move it as fast as you can. Put all your effort into moving as fast as you can.
Exactly.
And yeah, keep it fast.
Yeah.
But that is kind of a battle you're always fighting. Like, people keep on loading because it doesn't feel high enough. It doesn't feel hard enough. It's not the idea today. I feel like if you can communicate that's not the point today, you're getting something out and moving it as fast as you can. And in the long run, it'll pay off.
Exactly.
It's counterintuitive a little bit in CrossFit because, you know, typically what we're doing, and it works really well, is you're doing things for load, for time. Everything's a race or a max effort. And that works really well, especially for a while when people come from maybe a traditional gym environment, you know, more so in the past, like when we got into it, where like reading a magazine and being on a recumbent bike was like what fitness looked like for some people. It's like, hey, we need to learn how to go hard. We need to learn how to, you know, suck it up. Like, it's hot outside, you know, you're going to run and do burpees. Like, this is tough. But people will eventually get in their head, like, the only time I'm getting a good workout is when I'm maxing out a set of five or lifting really close to my threshold. And it's like, no, we did that Wednesday. Wait till next Wednesday to do that again, because these other 2 days we're going to be moving the weight fast and building that speed, you know, for next week when you hit a max effort in a similar type movement.
So, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've just seen. I've seen that as like a common error that I just want to wrap people's head around. That first day we did our 9x3 on bench, I saw people working up to, you know, real close to what they could barely handle for that 9x3.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, no. We want to move that down. You throw another couple tens on there, that's your 3RM. No. We don't want to do that. That's not the point of this. So, yeah, I just wanted to like get people's heads wrapped around that and make sure they understood like that is the day to do that. And then I think on the max effort day too. Now it's a max effort. Like we want to build to something that's a real challenge for us that day.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, you know, every week is necessarily like we're trying to PR our like all-time back squat or bench press. We're building up to a heavy lift for that day, but we don't want to see like every week, like you're dumping a back squat, like, you know, you're completely failing a bench and maybe like almost tearing a pec, or, you know, it is a reasonably heavy lift for that day. That's going to get your nervous system to like make an adaptation, but it's not a PR, you know, straight lift.
Yeah. It's a maximum effort for the day. It is something that will hit your central nervous system, because with that, you can only adapt to the heaviest stress placed upon you.
Yep.
So with that, like I was saying, there's going to be stressors. You might not hit a new PR, but you did a new variation. So if you hit that variation, you've never hit it before, and you hit some kind of heavy weight, that's going to be relative to you. That's a new PR.
It's a PR.
Every single thing new that we do is a PR. Absolutely. We're always winning.
That's what I love about this, because it's, if you're trying to max out like just a straight bar back squat, you know, every week, that's going to tear you up pretty quick.
Yep.
So changing it up. And then what I always tell people too is, test what's there. Don't try and create something that's not. And that's in the simplest way, particularly on poles, pulling style lifts, that's going to keep you fighting, you know, another day than when you don't try and like, well, my one rep max deadlift in 2015 was this. I'm going to try and hit a PR. I haven't pulled a heavy deadlift in 4 months. Like, mm-hmm. Don't try and create something that's not there. Test what's there. Like, okay, that's heavy. That's it. Like, I'm jackhammering this up. I'm going to stop here. And that's my heavy lift for the day. I'm not going to go until I completely go into failure every week, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Plus it teaches your athletes to feel what their body is telling them, because your body's going to talk to you. Yep. It's going to tell you exactly what it needs. So if you listen, and you're saying like, okay, I feel a little sore, I feel a little weak here, or the top part of my bench press is sucking. What do I need to do? Oh, I need to work on my lockout. So I might do some Anconius extension, or I might do some Tate's press, or maybe some JM press, something like that. Mm-hmm. It will tell you exactly what you need to do and when you need to do it, when you need to back off, and when you need to rest.
Get used to winning week after week.
Yep.
You know, you're hitting these lifts. You're successful on the dynamic effort days. You're moving everything fast. And we want to see that snowball rolling down a hill and getting bigger and gaining momentum. And that's always my thought process with these cycles, is thinking in the terms of like each workout is building off the other one. Not this workout is a competition every day to win. And when I see that mentality for too long,
yeah,
workouts will start to do the opposite effect, where it's like you actually might have been better off having just not done that workout, because you just tore yourself apart and now you have to take 3 days off. You want to just create that momentum. And then after a few weeks, it is all PRs and you're feeling good every day because you just keep building.
Yeah.
You just keep building that momentum rather than just like that workout just tore me to shreds and I can't move and I'm going to just lose it. So think in terms of trying to, I think, build momentum throughout this process. And if you really like this style of training too, and want to just fully dive into it, you're dabbling it in our CrossFit program, that power hour program is where you can just completely focus in on that for the full hour every day and just nerd out on only that. And the way I like to train and have for the last few years is I spend, I'll spend a good deal of my time in CrossFit. And then, you know, I like to do 2 and 3 month runs in the power hour. 12 weeks is ideal if you can spend a full 12 weeks and really run through that. And that's what we're going to do in the CrossFit side right now. But it keeps me really fresh coming back, you know, after doing CrossFit since 2007, 2008, I have to switch it up a bit, even with the huge variety that we do. And this just keeps me mentally and physically engaged. So going back and forth between it and switching things up. So if you're ever feeling a little cooked or burn or like want a change of pace, like that power hour program, I'm telling you, a lot of people, like, they just don't even consider it. Like, and oh, I have to get conditioning. No, try and just dive into that. I think that is a good way to keep you engaged. And then if that cadence starts to feel a little redundant, CrossFit's waiting for you on the other side.
Exactly.
Yep. You guys have anything that you wanted to talk about or add to that conjugate chat?
No, I don't think so.
Not really? Okay. Yeah. I mean, this one's short and sweet. I just wanted to really help everyone wrap their head around. I know as far as a training cycle goes on our CrossFit side, I haven't seen people this pumped up for a while on like, what is this? I'm getting a lot of questions and I'm like, okay, this is a perfect time to just in a really simple way, wrap people's head around it. And then in the next week or so, we're going to have a power hour promo video that's going to give people like a peek into that. And it's going to explain in really simple terms in about 30 seconds what that class is and what it looks like. And I'm excited to get that out and just really continue to expose more people, not only to CrossFit, but something that I fell in love with, especially over the last few years, is that conjugate method of training as well.
Yeah, I would just say, like, in the CrossFit classes, like, with the conjugate stuff, because it do the accessory, just get used to staying after the last 10 minutes. We've got some time for the workout most days. So hit that for 8 or 10 minutes, and it'll be good for you. On the max effort, dynamic effort days, just know when, like you said, everything's relative to that day. So it doesn't always have to be a PR. It's a 3-rep max for how you're feeling that day or 1-rep max for how you're feeling that day. So if feeling great, go for it. If not, read your body. It is what it is for that day. On the dynamic effort days, just move it fast. It's not supposed to be hard. You know, it's not supposed to be a max resistance. So move it as quick as you can on those days and don't feel like it needs to be heavy in a max effort, even though that's kind of the CrossFit mentality. So keep that stuff in mind.
Great advice right there. All right, guys, we will catch you next week.